Good morning and welcome in to the Blitz live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's game day eve, Tennessee, Florida. We got like 28 hours. Charlie Collier, Andy Brock, Sam Beard's back behind the board. Woo! I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Oh, let's go. I don't want to wait any longer. I don't want to have to go to sleep again. Like, I don't want to have to wake up again, start a new day, like, eat multiple meals. Like, I just want to I want to fast forward through all of that. I'm ready to go.
You want a little something, Charlie?
Want a little something? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think I did want a little something today, Sam.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Oh.
We're close, man. We're close.
How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing good. Great.
You don't seem like you're juiced.
No, I am. I'm happy to be here. Juiced. Ready to go.
That was the least convincing. I'm juiced.
What do you want me to do? Want me to do a cartwheel?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Can you?
Not very well.
Five jumping jacks, maybe? I don't know.
There's not a lot of room in this room for me to do a cartwheel, but could outside, baby.
I feel like we need to just, you need like an energy pickup.
Yeah, I would love that.
Can we just get like a slow clap going? Just like a.
Okay.
Let's go, Andy.
All right, we're good.
Let's go.
We're good.
Let's go.
We're good now.
But yeah, how you doing this morning? You ready?
Yeah, we're just dialed in. You know, we hit 3:30 yesterday, and what do we say? We locked in a little bit. You texted us to remind us yesterday that it had officially hit 48 hours. We've hit that window. All outside distractions are gone. Coach Heupel said yesterday, hey, there's been a lot of press, a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement. Let's embrace it. But then when we get to that 48 hours, it's time to lock in. It's all business now. All business.
What all you got going on tonight, this weekend? Just,
you know,
all the festivities.
Yeah, I got a lot of people in town. You know, being from Knoxville, this is a game that a lot of people flock back to. So a lot of good old friends coming back in. You know, friends that went to school together that are in all kinds of different places. So we've got like 16 people coming in for this game. I think, and that's consensus with a lot of people. I feel like
it's just interesting. Yeah,
once so many people are coming in this week,
because like a lot of people don't stay in Knoxville after college.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you stay in Knoxville,
All of a sudden, there's
a big game.
People
want to
come around,
like,
yeah.
39 people just hitting you up.
Exactly.
Like, I think we also just have the maximum amount of people staying in our apartment, too. And, and we had two people back out, so I think we would have been above maximum.
Oh, really? Well, what are your numbers looking like?
I think we're looking at, like, 6.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's a lot for your apartment.
Yeah, for the size.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't compare to your, what? I heard 16.
It depends because a few people are like returning back home, so they've got family here. But I believe on game day, 16.
You got anyone in your room, like specifically?
Not that I know of.
All right, then you're good. I feel good. Like as long as you just got
your own room
to like.
Yeah, no, I do.
Close the door and retreat to if you need to. You're good.
There's always going to be retaliation. I have my safe spot, so.
16
we're all good.
People. That's so many.
It's crazy, yeah. It's everyone. You know, everyone wants to come back for this game because I think even before that, like, obviously there's like 10 times more the buzz than there was when the schedule, you know, came out and like people started planning stuff in May. Because, I mean, I think a lot of people were just planning on coming back anyways, no matter where both these teams were at. Just like an easy game on the schedule to be like late September, weather's good. Let's come back for this one, Tennessee, Florida.
So what do you got going on before the game then? You tailgating? You like
Yeah, might walk up and catch the tail end of game day a little bit. Because I mean the game's at 3:30, so it's like if you're gonna tailgate
you might as well.
You're gonna walk right by it. So might go check that out. Yeah. Just to like head in the background. I mean I've done the game day deal where you wake up at 4 AM and you go all out.
I don't remember having to wake up that early to get
both times game day has been here.
Like the last time it was here I remember just like getting there when it was starting and just casually kind of walking.
You
up to
can
the front.
Do that, but if you like want to go all out, like what I don't know if I showed you a picture, but it's like they have that Coca-Cola fan zone and it's like double decked, like tiered. We got in there 4 a.m. Like, you have to get there early. And then they came in 2012 again. They're at like 5 a.m. I was a freshman in high school. First time I'd ever seen game day. Because I believe that was the first time they had been since, you know, like early 2000s maybe.
Yeah.
So it was like the first time I could have ever gone. And it was like, we got there early.
I mean, yeah, there's so much going on with this game between Checker Neyland, the sellout, 3:30 CBS. I think like Barstool game day is coming.
Yeah.
College game day is coming. All eyes are on this game.
Like, that's what it, I mean, how easy can it be just to get lost in all that distraction? Because you know that game day has to pull players aside for interviews. I'm sure Coach Heupel will make an appearance on game day.
And that's where I have a little bit more confidence in Josh Heupel than maybe I did in other coaches. Like, I almost feel like Pruitt was like too strict with it, where the players
were. Well, there
were
was never game
because,
day when.
Well, yeah, I mean,
when
just
Pruitt was here.
When there was just big buildup in general.
Sure.
Like, I feel like Pruitt was always like too tight with it, like Butch a little too loose. I don't know. I feel like like Heupel's the perfect amount. Like,
I'm excited to see it.
This is an enjoyable moment, but don't let it get in the way of what's important.
I like how he was like, you know, it's a balance, because how cool is it that we get this opportunity? Like, this is what you want. Like, you want, like, you have to prepare for this if you want to be at this level. So it's like, embrace it. Like, this is fun. This is good.
It's an opportunity to showcase Tennessee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a brand new era. Like, people probably don't know as much about Josh Heupel as we do. So people are going
to
learn.
Also, can we time out, pause real quick? Just like to address our Vol Twitter in general.
Okay.
Guys, Brett McMurphy was kidding. Can we leave Brett McMurphy alone, please?
Oh, I don't know what's going on.
He tweeted out like 18 hours ago, Kansas is sold out or something for Kansas Duke, and yet game day decided to go to like Tennessee, Florida, hashtag you had one job, like something along those lines. Very clearly a joke, which has just like been an ongoing college football internet meme all week about how game day should be Kansas Duke, like half kidding, half serious kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you wanted it.
Yeah, but like I was also just like,
but, like,
also kind of for the meme, like half kidding,
sure,
half serious. And our entire fan base took him incredibly seriously.
Uh-oh.
And it's just been like at his neck for 18 hours now. Guys, he was kidding. I know we're worked up. I know it's a very tense week. We got a lot of stress. It's okay.
It's a lot going on.
It's all right. Let's just focus
sometimes
on Florida.
Sometimes you have to do it.
Kansas and Duke, they're doing their own thing. But, yeah, anyway, back to game day. Sam, are you going to try to go to game day itself since you're actually, like, a student and everything? Like, you and any of your boys going to go, make any signs, anything?
I don't think so.
Man.
I don't know. I just
– I feel like everyone needs one good experience.
Yeah, you're in college. Come on.
Dude, I don't – game day doesn't – we talked about this earlier. Like, game day just kind of isn't the same as it was when you were, like, 12 or 13. Like, you just kind of camp out for a really long time to just
listen to
guys talk about a game that's not even your game until, like, the last 15 minutes of the show.
But the lore of it back in the day was unreal. Like,
Do we have a guest picker yet? When does that usually come out?
I think it's going to be Dolly. I just saw a kid's Snapchat story, and it was Dolly Parton in Knoxville. So
just the inside source.
I mean,
are we breaking this
like
news?
Around too.
Are we breaking this news right now?
I'm going to break it.
Wow.
But it's not going to be official.
Please credit Sam Beard first.
Yeah.
And Fox Sports Knoxville, Dolly Parton guest
absolutely.
Picker.
Absolutely. If it
but if
comes
it's not
out,
true, then this is all a legend. We did not claim any of this. Just want to make sure we cover both ends.
There's absolutely no credibility.
Yeah, no credibility, but all credibility if it's true.
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
She was in Knoxville, so
she's
either she's just like around her home or
she's never around Knoxville.
Yeah. One of my roommates texted this morning and said he gave Lee Corso a high five on the way to class. I mean, that
careful
was pretty nice.
What is Lee Corso doing wandering around campus?
I don't
who's
know
with him. Is someone with him?
They probably
make sure
someone something
has someone.
So
he said it was right by the game day bus though. Okay. So he's in close quarters.
On the way in here, you could just I could kind of really start to feel it. I was driving past Neyland Stadium. I had a truck pulling a game day trailer behind me, like a college game day, like labeled, printed, whatever, I guess, with their equipment, some of it. I had a truck to the left of me just hauling a giant trailer of porta potties over to Circle Park. And turning in front of me at a traffic light, the Florida Gators football equipment truck. So, I mean, I felt like I was wrapped up in it this morning when I was on the way. It made me feel really juiced. I'm really pumped up. I have no idea what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know. Game day, tailgates, bars.
Just
I don't
win.
Care. It's all just part of the distraction process for what's really important, and that's Tennessee, Florida, 3:30 tomorrow. I need it. I need it. And we're ready to give you guys an extensive preview for this weekend coming up on today's show. So stay with us here on the Blitz. We'll get rolling on the other side. Back here on the Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. They make the switch over to White Claw here this football season. Ditch the beer belly bloat here on the Big Orange with White Claw Hard Seltzer. Made with deliciously refreshing ingredients. It's a blend of seltzer water, gluten-free alcohol, and a hint of fruit flavor. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol. And again, many deliciously refreshing flavors. Please drink responsibly. Gentlemen, I went back and I watched I watched Florida play Kentucky last night. I watched Florida play Utah last night. And I watched Florida play USF.
So you watched all three games.
Yeah, I did.
You were doing heavy film.
I was just watching them, really. I don't know.
You said you would, yeah. Did you notice anything?
So I'm going to say a couple things that contradict myself today, because I'll just go ahead and put this out here now. Despite what I'm about to say, I do think that Tennessee wins and covers tomorrow. I'll just go ahead and put that out, start the show. But I do think that this Florida team needs to be taken seriously. This Florida team is maybe a little bit better than we're giving them credit for. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle between what we've seen against Utah and then with, you know, Kentucky and USF. That USF game a week ago was undeniably bad. USF was able to torch them on the ground. A couple bad snaps turned to good snaps, and USF might have won. And, you know, the air would have been taken out of this game, and Florida would be 1-2 and unranked. Like that, we were very close to that happening. But this is a Florida team that is incredibly thin, that is barely able to fill out their travel roster, that, I mean, that has, what, a three-star freshman quarterback as their backup quarterback, that is just no depth defensively at all, that was a little banged up for two very physical games to start the year when they went and played USF. You know, they were missing players. They had more guys banged up. They had guys that didn't play the entirety of the game. And, again, I mean, you're A, emotionally exhausted from your first two games, and B, you know, you're looking ahead to going on the road to Tennessee. That's just – it's such a big emotional letdown type spot against USF, especially an in-state school that, you know, that really just would love the opportunity to beat the big dogs in the state, Florida or Florida State or Miami. And in that instance, it was Florida they had the opportunity to beat. So I think that was more so like a trap game. Like, I'm sure we're not sitting here judging Arkansas for barely losing to Central Missouri the same way that I think we're judging Florida – for barely beating South Florida. South Florida better than Central Arkansas. So, or, I mean, not Central Arkansas, Missouri State, pardon me. So I think that Florida does need to be taken seriously. You know, Anthony Richardson is a talented player. He's a raw player. He's prone to make mistakes, but he is talented, and that talent can definitely still shine. But I think maybe the biggest difference in this game is the health of Ventro Miller and what he can or can't do for this Florida defense. Florida right now, again, they don't have a lot of depth. They have struggled to stop the run. And Tennessee needs to get that ground game going. I think they can with Ventro Miller out of the game. But if he does play tomorrow, I don't know, Andy, do you think that Tennessee's going to still be able to run the ball? Do you think that we'll see a Florida team that, you know, that looked like they did against USF, or will we see a better version of them? Because right now,
no, I don't see a way in which they, you know, regress from that game. I think honestly that could be, I mean, especially they hope could be their worst game of the year in terms of, yeah, they didn't have Ventrell Miller, they didn't have a lot of the pieces together. They didn't look fluid. Obviously, the Utah game at the tip of the spear right now of what they want to be and what they can be, but it that was week one, and then they don't have a lot of depth, so you feel like it's going to be really hard to replicate that. I think it was easy seeing them beat Utah and then putting them really high and being really high on them, like, wow, that was a great top 10 win. This is a good Florida team. And then they have two, you know, so-so performances after that, and it's easy to be like, all right, that was a fluke. they're right back down. So I think you're correct in saying they are somewhere there in that middle. I think we've seen them play one of their best games and one of their worst games. So they have a lot of data to build on. And I think especially coming into this game and how, you know, how much buzz there is for Tennessee, there's got to be that much buzz as well for Florida. They're getting featured in the same light. They are the underdog in this, you know, hostile environment. If that doesn't get you, you know, fired up, then, you know, then what even are you doing? Yeah, like, these are the games that you expect to play in, and these are games that you have to step up for. So I feel like you're not just with how hyped this game is and the rivalry of this matchup and that this is an SEC game. I just don't see them laying, you know, the way that they did against South Florida and it being kind of one of those performances. I think adding in Ventrell Miller, as we discussed yesterday a little bit, that's going to help them out with the run game.
No one really knows if he's going to play too. Like,
exactly.
Heard, I mean, very conflicting things. The same obviously goes with Cedric Tillman.
Yeah, I mean, both teams have pieces that are hurt, and it's just like that's how things get after a certain point in the season. You know, both teams are losing key pieces, and it's not like it evens things out, but some are missed more than others. But you have to adjust and be ready, and the next person is there. I don't know if it like changes Tennessee's game plan. Obviously, you know, they can attack the run game, but obviously that Tennessee's been good in that regard. But I think the Vols feel comfortable offensively to be able to do what makes them comfortable, not just to cater to what Florida is showing. Obviously, you want to try to take advantage of that, but I also think Tennessee is in the position where they can be comfortable to do what makes them succeed as well, not just determining on what Florida has, who's active and who's not there. I think Tennessee is good enough to do whatever they want and control their own offensive game.
Yeah, Miller was out a week ago, got upgraded from out to questionable, I think yesterday or the day before. Still no official word on his status. Same with Cedric Tillman. You know, I think that there's some people that are saying, hey, yeah, I doubt that he plays, not expected to play, but I think there are other people that are a little bit more optimistic. I don't know. I think it is maybe leaning more towards not playing or, you know, at least a very limited role if he does. But I do think that Ventrell Miller would be have a larger impact negatively on Florida than the absence of Cedric Tillman would on Tennessee, because I think that Tennessee is more well-equipped to be able to replace Cedric Tillman for the time being. Now, you're talking about the game plan. You're talking about getting the run game going. I think you really – that's, to me, there are – you know, probably two huge keys to this game. One of them is getting the run game going. I don't think that you've really gotten it to a point that you want it at this year at any time. Jabari Small, he's been practicing all week. He should be good. I feel like he's maybe lacked some of the explosiveness we saw from him a year ago. Jalen Wright's been good, but I feel like maybe he doesn't necessarily have like the break, the ability to break big runs the way that some other running backs do. I think he's just good at it. Consistently getting the yardage that's there, which is a valuable asset to have in a running back. And then I think you have Dylan Sampson, who maybe is a little bit more raw, obviously the true freshman, that I think he might have a little bit more of that big play ability, a little bit more of that boom or bust ability to him. But I think really to get this run game going, it starts with Hendon Hooker. I think Hendon Hooker needs to get more involved in running the football. And I think you need to get more design runs for him. I think it seems to kind of loosen him up and get him into the game more. You know, we've seen some of these slower starts from him where he's missed on some throws, and I think he was willing to admit that this week. But I think if you get him running early, if you get him taking a few hits and delivering a few hits and picking up a first down or two with his legs, I think that gets him more comfortable in the flow of the game and it settles him in a little bit more. And then I think you see maybe a more crisper passing performance as well. But Tennessee's run game is the basis of that offense. I know we think fast, up-tempo, throwing the football, but everything is set up by that run game. It's about spreading you out and then always having a mismatch somewhere. You're just not going to be able to align formationally with everything. But part of that is being able to run, you know, 5-on-5. Like, part of that is being able to get a hat on a hat and you know, give a running back a 1-on-1 and let him beat somebody or you know, making sure he can get through that second level. Because then that puts the defense in a spot where they have to commit more to your run game and it opens up everything horizontally and vertically in your passing game. But the run game is just so important to everything else, and I don't think that Josh Heupel, I think, would say this too, hasn't been where it needs to, and I think Hendon Hooker can help elevate that.
Yeah, I mean, yes. It could open up some more options. I also just don't know if that's been the priority of his game so far this year. I feel like we haven't. Maybe it's just because he's been able to throw at will against a Ball State or an Akron team. But
I'm saying we need more design.
Yeah,
it's like I'm not saying he needs to create more himself.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like I just didn't see that being a focus in those games. Like there wasn't like you said, like right. There wasn't enough called. So I don't know if that's just like maybe something they're saving or something that they're just not focusing on. Maybe it's just something like you don't want to put your quarterback in that. In as much traffic as you can because you need him. I don't see that being maybe the main reason, or I don't know. I just feel like that hasn't been the priority necessarily of the offensive play calling, and maybe we do need more. But also, I don't see a reasoning in that being like something you have to prioritize for this game. It could be nice to see him like run because he is good instinctually on the ground and he makes plays happen. And yeah, it could get him a little bit more comfortable in the game, but. I guess there also is that risk, he gets hit in a weird way and he get taken out of the game. I think
that's just a risk that you run playing the sport of football.
Yeah,
in general.
I know, but if you're running more instead of like
yeah, but doing I mean, I feel like you don't want to, you can't limit your quarterback.
Yeah,
out of fear
no, I agree.
Either. And running the ball is in his skill set, and I feel like when you have Joe Milton, you feel pretty decent about your quarterback depth at least.
Yeah, you do.
Not to.
Yeah, you do,
bring
but
up
you,
anything,
be, yeah, you obviously but, don't want that to happen.
I don't know. Like I watched Devin Leary run the ball well from Utah, their quarterback, or not Devin Leary, Cam Rising. Sorry, they remind me of each other. But I watched like Cam Rising run the ball well at times, and his wasn't really necessarily designed. His was more he created, he broke, contained, whatever else. But I watched him run the ball well. I watched Will Levis. He took his opportunities when they were there to run the football as well, and even last week. Against Florida's, Bohannon, their quarterback transfer, did not play a very good game throwing the ball, but he ran 15 times for 102 yards, 6.8, yards per carry. And I think especially if Ventrell Miller doesn't play, they're going to be exposed in some areas with their run fits because, Roberto mentioned this yesterday, the quarterback of their defense, he helps everyone get aligned. But when you have so many responsibilities because you're playing, the sophisticated Josh Heupel offense, when you have to worry about, the alert coming from the outside and, potentially a handoff or a quarterback keeper or whatever else, when you're playing a little bit slower because you're thinking a little bit more, if you can add in the threat of a quarterback run at any given time, I think that slows the defense down even more. It opens things up, and that's part of why I think South Florida was able to just gash Florida the way they did a week ago was because they got the quarterback involved in the run game. I think that last year when the quarterback got involved in the run game, when Hendon Hooker was running the football, the offense seemed to move a little bit better. And, you've obviously in short yardage, he had the scamper against Ball State. He's been there. I think I would like to see you open up the playbook a little bit more. My other thing that I think is really important in this game, my other key here, is the way you start this game. That, I think, is by far the most important thing. And obviously, that's an easy answer. You got to start good if you want to play good. But specifically against this Florida team, I mean, if you can bury them early, if you can get the crowd involved, that's when they can really struggle. The way that Florida wins this game is by grinding it out, by getting their defense plenty of rest, by controlling the clock, by running more plays than you, by being better on third down, by forcing some three and outs, and just slowly taking the ball out of your offense's hands and keeping it on the ground and taking care of the football and winning a game. But if you can get up on them early, if you can force them out of their comfort zone, and if you can really force them to be on the field a lot, that's where I think you'll really start to see them struggle. Like I said, a very thin team, not a lot of depth. Again, barely enough to even fill out a travel roster, especially on that defensive line. There's not a ton of depth, and they've already had to play three really physical, close games. They're going to be not nearly as fresh as Tennessee is. So if you can really start to wear them down, then you can explode in the second half. And I think that's what's going to happen. But if you start to give them confidence by letting them hang around in the first, and if you start to give them that energy, you know, I think that works both ways. A young, maybe a little bit more inexperienced Florida team, if they start to build some confidence, get that energy, you start playing loose, you start playing with fire, you start playing with house money, like things get dangerous. That's how you get beat. That's also, I think, if Florida gets off to a hot start, that's when you start to feel the weight of 17 of the last 18. Like, that's when you start to feel the weight of another Tennessee huge build up for this big game that falls short. Like, that's when you start to feel the crowd and the pressure, and that's when you tighten up. And I don't think that Tennessee can handle that kind of, you know, tenseness if they were to get down early very well. So I think that that's very important. But you look at Florida, all three games, outside of that fourth quarter against Utah, they've been better in the first half than the second. You got to get off to a better start.
And that's obviously been a staple of Josh Heupel and his teams. You didn't quite see it as much against Pittsburgh. So, yeah, you would love for that to happen again. Looking at the numbers, Josh Heupel in first quarters with Tennessee outscoring opponents 228-61. Like, that's an unreal number. And to get out of that kind of a start in front of that crowd, I think we mentioned it yesterday, to be able to do that with the atmosphere that's going to be there, it really can set the tone for the rest of the game. Tennessee has done this over and over again, start well in the first quarter, but it is different in a matchup like this. The importance of it is a little bit different. Obviously, you know, just because you don't have a good first quarter start doesn't mean there's reason to panic, but from what Tennessee teams have shown us under Coach Heupel, they can do this thing, and how big would it be to see that on Saturday? Just to kind of set the tempo, because I think Tennessee has the opportunity to really control the tempo for most of the game. You know, given their style of offense, given that they are the favorited team, they should feel more comfortable at home. They have the opportunity to kind of set the tone, set the standard for how this game should go, and they could really put a lot of pressure on Florida, like, right out of the gates.
You can run away with this game, I think, if you get up early. Like, again, I know that we feel all the pressure of the past, but, like, it just on paper, you take the name and the logo out of it, Team A versus Team B, 11-on-11. Tennessee is the better team in most areas. In most areas. But we'll continue to talk Tennessee, Florida on the other side. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Got money on my mind. I say really, really. Back here on the Blitz. Hey, the Big Orange Philly phone lines are open, 865-546-8200. If you want to call in, let your voice be heard. Big Orange Phillies, hey, if you're in town for the game, we'll go check out our friends over at 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. It's a great spot for a quick lunch, burgers, beers with friends after work. If you're out on the weekend, hey, they got pool, darts, karaoke, live music. If you can't stop in for the time being and get yourself a delicious Philly, well, they deliver via Grubhub as well. So make sure you go check them out, Big Orange Phillies. Continue to look at this matchup. So I'm really interested to see what Florida looks like offensively tomorrow, because I think there's a couple different factors at play here. I think that not having Jack Miller has obviously, you know, maybe put Florida at a spot where they want to throw the ball more, because you don't want to risk Anthony Richardson getting hurt, and you have to play a three-star freshman that is the son of Ekitna. Like, that's just not the – that's not where Tennessee wants –
is this John
Kitna's
son? Is this John Kitna's son?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I
love John Kitna.
I do, too. Isn't he, like, an OC somewhere, I think, too?
I don't know where he's at these days. He started for the Cowboys in 2015.
I'm pretty sure I saw him on a sideline, like, this past weekend.
That would make sense. I feel like he was a good football mind.
Was it the Giants?
I'm almost positive he's a position coach somewhere.
Let's check.
He might be a Giants.
A Giants, man. That would be tough.
Sam, our official researcher, get back to me. But
he's coaching high school.
High school,
yeah.
Then what kid did I see? What ex quarterback did I see?
He was a quarterback's coach for the Cowboys in 2019.
Maybe that's what, I don't know. Who knows?
But yeah, coaching Burleson High School, Texas.
I bet they're terrible. Anyway, Florida's offense. So I think that could be a factor. Like, you've even heard them say that, verbalize that, you know, they don't necessarily want to put Anthony Richardson in harm's way too often. And I think that's why you haven't necessarily seen them run a lot of designed quarterback runs. It's been more reads that turn into quarterback runs rather than just like QB power, you know, QB ISO, whatever else, QB draw. Now, Florida's also at the bottom of the SEC in explosive plays. They have not created many explosive plays at all offensively. It'll also be his first true road start in the SEC. It'll be an environment that he's not really used to. And I think that this Florida team, if you jump on them early, could feel a lot of pressure to, you know, to score, which could lead to them making more mistakes. We've seen Anthony Richardson this year make plenty of mistakes, plenty of turnovers. He has, you know, again, three more tackles than he does touchdown passes. And right now, he has been off target with 18.2% of his passes, which ranks 103rd among all FBS quarterbacks. So I don't know what to think about what we're going to get from Florida. Usually when you're at this point in the season, week four, you've not seen, you know, everything that a team's capable of yet. Teams are still capable of more than what we've seen from them to this point in the season. We're still going to see more out of Tennessee. We're still going to see more out of Florida. We're going to see them do things that we have not seen them done yet. We might see them do things tomorrow that we have not seen them done yet. So we know that Tennessee's maybe a little bit vulnerable in their secondary. We know that Anthony Richardson maybe doesn't want to run as much. Anthony Richardson himself might even be a little bit banged up. And we know that, you know, that Florida's lacked explosive plays. So with all that being said, you know, with him having the pressure to keep up with Tennessee as well, what kind of showing do you think we get out of Florida's offense tomorrow? Do we think we still see them be as run heavy, or do they add in some extra wrinkles?
No, that's a really good question, because since they haven't been, you know, super successful through the air and they have on the ground, I feel like the on paper report is like, oh, if we stop the run game, we should feel good. Whereas, you know, even the run game, you know, Anthony Richardson hasn't been able to run as much. And you're right, it does put him in that harm's way with them not having Miller back up. So I do think they have to switch something up. Like, you have to take a look, take stock of what you did last week, last 2 weeks, and be like, all right, we've got to make something happen. If you haven't unleashed the full playbook, now's the time. You got to do something explosive against this Tennessee defense to try to catch them off guard. Anthony Richardson, he has the arm strength. Like, that's not a question. He can throw the ball a long way. So I feel like you have to try to utilize that in a non-dangerous way for yourself, a non-harming way for yourself, because you don't want to be, you know, turning the ball over and being not smart with your throws down the field. But I do think Florida tries to take a few shots. I do feel like they have to try to do something a little bit outside their comfort zone in this game, because I think they sense that what they've been doing the last 2 weeks is not going to win them this football game. And they have to do something that maybe they haven't shown on film, because Tennessee has a lot to look at. They see what they've done good. You can see what they've done poorly in the last 2 weeks. I think you have to do something different and try to utilize Anthony Richardson in a different way to get him feeling in a rhythm. I feel like if you get him in a rhythm, like, you could tell in that Utah game, like, he was in a more of a zone than we've seen all season. I feel like you just got to get him in that little area where he feels comfortable with his abilities.
Again, I think that Anthony Richardson has been playing hurt. I think that that's why he's looked like a different quarterback since Utah. Like, you can see it against Kentucky. Like, I think that, you know, his health is maybe a little bit worse than they're letting on. But the thing with Anthony Richardson is he has a very live arm, and he's going to make some throws. He's going to make some throws where you go, wow. But like I said, he's missed on 18.2% of his passes. You know, there's going to be some errant throws too. That's kind of how he is. He uncorks some, and they get away from him. Tennessee's going to have to be opportunistic tomorrow. That's another thing that I think is really important. And obviously, it's easy to sit here and say, hey, it's important to create turnovers, but you're going to get the chance to intercept passes tomorrow. There are going to be instances where Anthony Richardson is off the mark, and you know, you could find yourself in a position where a football is coming toward you. Those are the plays that you are going to have to make. I think that Anthony Richardson struggles to throw over the middle. I think there are times that he is inaccurate outside the numbers and down the field, which, again, it shows up in his stats. But this defense has a chance to really, I think, go out and control the football game tomorrow. I think that you can suffocate Florida offensively. I think your corners need to play giving up receivers less space. I think they need to play up more on Florida's receivers. I think that obviously you need to blitz for contain, and I think that you need to try to make it tough for Anthony Richardson. Make him throw into tighter coverage. Like make him beat you with his arm, and then when he can't or if he doesn't, capitalize. But we'll head over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines where we got a call from Roberto. Roberto, happy game day eve.
Yeah, I just want to thank you guys for always getting me settled in and through my workout in the 10 o'clock hour every day this week. So thank you. Nothing else. Well, yesterday being a notable exception, we got some clear tomorrow. So if you guys want to swing by, let me know.
Perfect.
We have plenty for everyone. Let's just put it that way. Couple of stats that you guys actually kind of gave. A nice segue for my call. How about that? The interception thing. Do you know what Anthony Richardson's adjusted potential interception rate is on these advanced analytic things? You know what it is?
I would know, but I would love to hear it.
It's essentially 1 in 8. It's about 12.5%. So about 12.5% of his throws have a potential to be intercepted.
That makes sense. Like you're going to get, 4 to 5 opportunities tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Another interesting stat that I kind of got into it last night with a guy, and not into it, that's not the right word. We just had a disagreement on a text thread I was on. And do you remember I call him the Wakanda Nightmare. I don't remember the guy's name, but it's got more vowels than consonants in it up at Pitt. I forget his name.
Yeah, the running back.
Abanaconda.
Thank you.
Yes.
That guy. Yeah, Anaconda. Don't want none. If you take off his 76-yard run, do you realize Tennessee's averaging as a defense less than 2 yards per carry given up?
Yeah, that was one of the things I said yesterday. That was not even an example of like your run defense being bad. That was just an example of your defense not communicating properly, because on that play, your middle linebacker on the left side and flew out to mm-hmm. defend the RPO. You left your safety like a 15-yard run lane to try to close down. He didn't make a tackle, but that's mm-hmm. not bad football. That's bad communication. Like that's just poor execution. And like if you take that play away, very good run defense the rest of the game and really the rest of the season.
Yeah, quite literally 30% of all the rush yards you've given up this season are on one play. I want people to understand that perspective. Why people are asking me, why are you so high on the Vols? I mean, I never bet on Tennessee. Understand this. I don't bet on Tennessee. I can't separate my head from my heart. But this week, I can't separate my heart from my head. I've said it several times. I laid money on the Vols this week because I think it's a no-brainer. It feels like free money, and probably the dude I respect the most, I know you guys all know him, Tennessee Lee, Basketball Lee, he's heavy on the Vols. Heavy, heavy on the Vols. And he's the same way I am. So that gives me all the confidence in the world. I just think one other stat that I think is really important to this game is Florida's inability to rush the ball when you bring more than 5 rushers. If essentially you were talking about you need to blitz, right? We're not going to get pressure on him with 4 down linemen. Do you guys agree with that?
No, I mean, that's a solid offensive line. They return a couple tackles, yeah. and they were pretty good last year.
But when you stack the box and bring at least 5 up the middle, like their yard per rush goes down over 1.5 yards per rush. I saw that somewhere. That's not a Roberto statistic that I know I looked up, but that's what I saw. And I'm thinking, because we're going to stack the box tomorrow and make him beat us over the top and, as you said, over the middle. And if there's one place Tennessee is susceptible, it's always next time we stop a slant, it'll be the first, right, gentlemen?
Yeah, just about.
But he's not good over the middle. You nailed that part too. And what is it? I saw some weird statistic that 71% of his throws. I didn't account for this week, but against Utah and oh my gosh, who was their second game? I just blanked.
Kentucky.
71% of his throws were behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean they understand that he's limited.
Limited.
And I think that's what I was saying. Like you have to play up on the line of scrimmage. You have to you know, defend the run and contain aggressively and make him beat you with his arm and force him into trying to make throws. And if he makes a couple throws, then so be it. But he's definitely going to make a couple mistakes. And when he does, be ready to turn those around on him and capitalize.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I know you got to make money, and you can't do that with me on here. So I'm going to end with this. I think Tennessee wins for overarchingly one reason. Listen to Florida talk this week. Go back if you have time to listen to interviews. They're illogical, and they make no sense, and they sound like they're just coming up with random things. They sound like, as I call them, born on third base Butch or born on third Butch. You know, making up Frankie Jr. down there, making up his own statistics at South Carolina. That's what they sound like. Like Richardson saying, hey, you know, we played in the swamp and it's loud here, so it won't, you know, it might be a little louder, but not really there. Are you kidding me? You understand that's a home game, right? That defies logic. We're going to be louder when you're on offense. At home, I don't know if your crowd does this, but at home, our goal is to be as quiet as possible when our team is on offense. And it's to be as loud as possible when our team is on defense. I think, and then you listen to Napier, and they ask him a direct question, and he goes off on, well, I got family in Tennessee. And, dude, we don't give a damn about that. Bend over and prepare to take it, boys. Show them the 50 states. Balls, 38-17.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Roberto. Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with you. And, again, the fact that it's Florida creates apprehension. But from a football perspective, Tennessee is just so well equipped from a matchups perspective to win this game, both defensively and offensively. I think their defense can control this game. Offensively, we know what Josh Heupel is. There is nobody, or arguably nobody in college football that can create mismatches better than he can and then take advantage of those mismatches. He is the king of getting you out of position, of forcing you to give up something. You are always going to give up something to Josh Heupel, and just about every time he's going to help his team identify that and attack that. So, I agree with you. Tennessee should win this game and win this game, you know, in a statement fashion tomorrow, in a way that makes people go, oh, hey, Tennessee, maybe they're done messing around. You know, maybe they're done playing around in the gutter, in the ditch, in the backyard. You know, maybe they want to come, you know, sit at the table with the rest of us. I think that, like you said, too, I've seen people have been like, oh, man, I don't know. I'm worried about this run defense against Florida. We got gashed against Pitt. No, you didn't. You blew your assignment on one play, which resulted in a 76-yard run. And other than that, you suffocated a Pittsburgh ground game that is – pretty solid. That is the identity of that offense. Against Ball State and Akron, obviously that's doesn't really tell you much, but you were in the right gaps. I thought that, you know, against Akron, like the first quarter, Jeremy Banks had like two bad run fits. And other than that, I mean, you executed everything the way you were supposed to. You were disciplined. You did what you were supposed to. So I find it hard to think that unless you play just a really uncharacteristic football game, unless some voodoo Florida-Tennessee magic happens, if both teams go out there and play their style of football and execute, Tennessee will win this football game. Like, unless, again, something wild happens, Tennessee wins this football game, and I think even covers in this football game.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, supernatural mental things. It can happen. But I think, yeah, on paper, you expect the way things have gone, the way things are matched up, Tennessee wins this game. So that's why, you know, Florida, they need to be successful on things that they haven't been successful on early in the year. Like, if their pass game looks crisp and that's something they haven't shown, then that's, you know, that's the way they win the game. And if they do things that they haven't, they stop the run, you know, and limit Tennessee to, you know, maybe not a good first quarter start, just things that you wouldn't expect, then that's the way that things get a little bit more interesting. So, but like generally on paper, the way things have been going, yeah, the needle certainly favors Tennessee.
Well, good first hour here. And remember, before the game tomorrow, we'll be getting you ready for the game with Tennessee Tailgate. Adam Hickman and company will be on that. They will be live tomorrow before the game, I believe at 11 a.m. So make sure you were tuned in to Tennessee Tailgate tomorrow with Adam Hickman and company. As always, voluntary reaction after the game. I can only imagine the chaos that will be the Twitter spaces with Russell and Bear post Tennessee, Florida. There's either going to be violent anger or overwhelming, you know, elation in that Twitter spaces. But I imagine it'll go on for a very long time. And I imagine it'll be incredibly entertaining. So make sure you tune into that as well. And also, if you're in town for Tennessee, Florida today at Hops and Hollers, overtime, we'll be live at 6 o'clock. I know Russell Smith and company will be there. They'll be there hanging out. Just a nice little get together at Hops to get you ready for tomorrow. Christopher Gabriel in town, made the trip all the way out from California to Knoxville to be here this weekend. Believe he'll be out there at Hops tonight as well. That's starting at 6 o'clock. It'll be Jake Miller in overtime. So a lot of fun stuff coming up this weekend. Fun hour one, hour two on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.